What's cool? What's good? We're back. Yours truly, one and only Paul Picker, host of the Paul Picker Podcast, aka Triple P, aka the Common Sense Podcast. Your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. Today, I'm going to react to a video. It's a Curtis King video reacting to Simba talking about he has a problem with older music producers. Before we do that, though, I want to give you a word from Dizzle Brand. We're going to play the Dizzle Brand chip food commercial. Here we go.
Me and my team whenever we link up, they're gonna be drink up. We sit down and relax and have few glasses when there's things to think about. Like I'm nice with the boss when I tend to the boss and I'm not talking drink ups. So tell the bartender to tend to the bar to please pass me a big cup up. And tell that waitress is waiting on us to put a little ice in it. Now watch the ice become weightless like the spaceships that I be sitting in. No waiting list. Another waiting for that tropical twist that'll tickle your taste buds. Now taste up. Now I insist it's the
Dizzle.
That's right. You can Dizzle too. Dizzle is a premium luxury liqueur mixed with agave tequila, cognac, and orange liquor mango mix. Just throw your Dizzle on ice and it's nice. If you want to order your very own bottle or bottles of Dizzle brand premium luxury liqueur, as you see, order at DizzleBrand.com. Click on the online order link on the homepage. That'll take you to Emilio's Beverage. Don't forget, you must be 21 and over. Shipping and handling is included. Also, we got the Dizzle brand merch. Got one of the tees on right now. You see, Dizzle was established 2001 and was officially bottled about 2.5 years ago. Also, get your Dizzle brand merch at DizzleBrand.com on the merchandise store. It's also available on Etsy.com, ETSY.com. Search for Dizzle brand. And what else? We got the Dizzle brand gummies, also available in blueberry, lemon, and strawberry at DizzleNova.com. And link is in the description. Let's get into it.
This story here on VS Gen, and it included Simba's. Simba is a lyricist. He's been getting so many different cosigns because of his classic lyricist approach. And some of those cosigns are coming from veteran producers who are like, hell yeah, that's what I'm talking about. When I say I want real hip hop to come back, it's folks like Simba. But he has an issue that he's actually been in the sessions with some of these producers. Check out what he says.
Not the issue. A lot of these old producers, listen to me. Y'all talk all this, we want hip hop to come back. And the minute we get in the studio with y'all want $100,000 for a beat. If you want this to come back so bad, why you taxing so much?
Wait, a beat?
One beat, bro.
Let me stop right there. You know what's crazy? I just got to throw this out there too. It's not even just old, like, legend producers and old school producers that used to have mainstream appeal at one time that are taxing. Even like local producers would try to beat you over the head and tax you a lot when they say they're trying to work with you, which means they really not trying to work with you. They just trying to beat you over the head and tax you for the price.
You go spend a weekend with a producer and y'all get like 5 songs. Y'all on the Airbnb kicking it. You talking about life. We done smoked and talked about each other's kids. My son and FaceTime me. I'm like, what's up, man? Woo, woo, woo. All right, man, let's get this music out. Oh, I think we should do the video. Next thing you know, it's time to do the business. The label then called. Yeah, he wants 80 grand a beat and a point on each. And he wants to own the master. And he...
80 grand a beat. I'm gonna let Curtis King get in here in a few and give his opinion, but I'm with him. If you know these up and coming artists that they don't got 80 grand a beat, they're probably totally independent. And that's the thing, there's levels to this shit. I don't think you should ever charge a independent cat the same amount as the mainstream record labels. Like the record labels, you already know they got money. Yeah, milk the cow. Milk the cow the best way you know how. But independents, I mean, they're independent, so they can't afford $80,000 a beat. And what is me or anybody else paying $80,000 a beat to a producer that might not produce the hit record in some years? How is that going to really benefit just because his name? That's the thing. A lot of these people think their names hold the same value and the same price through the test of time. Some of them do, but very few. I repeat, some of them do, but very few.
Just ate Popeye's chicken together for a whole 2 days.
Wait, how long does it take to do a beat?
5 minutes.
Wait, 5 minutes? Do a beat?
This is a common issue that you hear, although we've been hearing as of late, of a lot of artists feeling like, regardless of how legendary a producer's name is, their budget is their budget. And because their budgets don't accommodate being able to work with the price of some of these producers, it puts them in a situation where it's like, I need you to work with me, OG. And to give a...
I hate to cut them off again. There's only two kind of budgets in the world. What you can afford and what you're willing to spend. What you can afford, what you're willing to spend. I always recommend to go off what you can afford. And because usually the cats that go off of what they're willing to spend got a shit ton of money, but they're cheapskates. And that's not the way to go about it. You go off what you can afford.
A little bit more context. Simba says some more specifics in the comments of this actual clip, because I'm pretty sure a lot of producers got angry. I'm not mad at no producer that's getting paid. Everybody deserves to be paid for their work, especially producers. That's great at what they do. I'm saying there's a community of older producers who complain about younger, new artists not wanting to work with them. They say our music sounds microwavable and we're not being produced. But when we go to them for help, they take advantage of us. Is it really about making the music better, or is it about your beats not selling like they used to and you need some money? Another perspective is actually from a friend of mine's. Arrow. You might have heard of him from doing production for Absol. I believe he did Pineal Gland. He says, the problem is that more than likely Simba is hanging out with older established producers. At that point, that's like going to a Bentley dealership and then complaining about the prices. If you want brand name, they're going to tax you, especially if they have a deep catalog. That has always been.
Yeah, but you ain't produced a hit record in, say, 3 to 5 years just because you legendary. What have you done for me lately? What ain't that the saying? What have you done for lately? You're only good as your last hit. If your last hit was 5 years ago, legend or not, man. I mean, come on, you gotta meet me some way, you know, maybe not halfway, a third of the way or something. Like, you still gotta be very relevant. You can't, like, ain't produced a hit record, you know, in over, you know, 3 to 5 years and still think that your production is going to hold that weight. Because if it did, you would have produced a hit record in the last 3 or 5 years.
And the perspective that I have always been exposed to is that the reason why these producers with these legendary catalogs, these huge brands and names, charge what they charge because they position themselves just like a luxury vehicle. And if you know anything about the history of luxury vehicles, it doesn't matter what the economy is going through, their prices are not dropping off. The price of a Ferrari is going to be a price of a Ferrari. And so a lot of producers have sort of compared and positioned themselves to be the equivalent of that in music. Only issue I...
The problem with that is, I hate to cut them off, is there's plenty producers in the music industry. That's the thing. You know, there's only one Ferrari brand. There's multiple Ferrari brands in the music business. You know, there's Ferrari times 100 in the music business, you know, and 1,000 times 1,000, depending on what sound you're looking for, whatever. There's plenty of beat makers and producers. That's the thing. Like, people are jacking for beats. They're getting them off YouTube. They get them off SoundCloud. SoundClick, I mean, people are not hurting to find beats. So the Ferrari analogy, I don't really think applies here.
I have with that, when you're talking about luxury vehicles, the reason why they don't have commercials is because people with money are not sitting around watching TV like that. Their demographic is likely in different places, adding to those millions and millions of dollars. They don't have a whole lot of leisure time. They're probably workaholics. They're probably folks who are responsible for employing hundreds of people. Now, the flip side of that when it comes to production is that you're not just trying to work with people who have an elite amount of money, especially if you're a older producer who is concerned with staying relevant. Here's where the concept of staying relevant backfires, because I think a lot of folks, especially in our culture, are so concerned with what have you done for me lately? Who have you worked with? And when you rely on relevance, there's a necessity for you, even as an OG, to reestablish your dominance. There's a necessity for you to remind people, newer generations, younger generations, this is why I have the name that I have. Michael Jordan surely is not above that. That's why even though he is no longer playing, you still see his shoes, his Jordan brand. There is still a need to reintroduce yourself to a younger audience. Now, if older
But the thing with that is Jordan never really hit Jordan. The Jordan name and the Jordan brand never really had to be reintroduced. It never left. It just fluidly flowed through the test of times, through the hands of times, and still like the number one sneaker, pretty much. Still the gold standard of athletic success and dominance. You know, that's the thing. Even when Jordan retired, he still dominated in the shoes. The thing is, if you're a producer who hasn't made a hit record for 3 or 5 years for somebody, like, just idea that just because you have this legendary producer producing your record that everybody's going to run and go listen to it, is it the same as if you have a modern day rapper on there? And also, the producers are not going to trigger algorithms in the same sense that artists will. Really, artist features are more prevalent than producer features, especially now in this day. You got so many people coming out with producers making the beats you ain't ever even heard of. The rapper making the producer famous overnight.
Producers take on that reintroduction and they say, okay, that is a necessity. You can't play that luxury car pricing, especially when the budgets of these artists that are signing, when these budgets have shifted dramatically because the sources of income have shifted dramatically for your target audience of artists who rap a certain way, who want a certain type of sound within their production. It's up to you not to cheapen yourself, but it's up to you to update some of those terms. Would you say that's fair? Regardless of your name.
I would say that's very fair. I mean, if you haven't, you know, let me do it in different terms. If you got the hottest if you had the hottest cheeseburger on the planet, or one of the most banging cheeseburgers on the planet, for, you know, 10 to 20 years, and, you know, you ain't sold a cheeseburger in over 3 to 5 years, your cheeseburger ain't so hot in the game no more. Nobody's really checking for it. That's the thing. Like, people gotta understand, man, even old school hip hop heads aren't necessarily checking for old music every single day. And if they are, they're probably listening to one artist for the day. Like me, I might be listening to the Jay-Z Black Album when I'm walking to the store, or I might be listening to Mobb Deep Infamous one day. You know, like, I don't necessarily bounce all over the place. Like, if I'm going old school, whatever I'm listening to, what artists I'm picking for that day, is probably what I'm listening for that whole day. Old school. But even then, I want new shit. I don't want to listen to the same old stuff over and over and over again. I want new shit.
If you're still seeing an emphasis being put on relevancy, you're going to have to readjust. So even though you are a Bentley, you may not necessarily be a Bentley to somebody who doesn't see the value of a Bentley.
Y'all talk all this, we want hip hop to come back. And the minute we get in the studio with y'all, y'all want $100,000 for a beat. If you want this to come back so bad, why are you taxing so much?
Wait, a beat?
One beat.
I hear where Symbol's coming from. When you have older producers that are up in arms about the microwavable nature of music, I think sometimes what they don't take into consideration, there's more than just artist choice, rapper choice, that affects the sound of music.
Bro, you go spend a weekend with a producer and y'all get like five songs. Y'all in the Airbnb kicking it. You talking about life. We done smoked and talked about each other's kids. My son and FaceTime me. I'm like, what's up, man? Woo. All right, man, let's get this music out. Oh, I think we should do the video. Next thing you know, it's time to do the business. The label then called. Yeah, he wants $80,000 a beat and a point on each. And he wants to own the master. And he
just ate Popeye's chicken together for a whole 2 days.
In a very ironic way, these older producers are sort of playing the same game that labels played with them. Let me invite you into my home. Let's chop it up about life. Let's build up a great rapport. Let's become friends today. But when the business...
Yeah, let me stop real quick. That's kind of hypocritical. You know, I got to call it the double standards when I see him. That's kind of a double standard when, like, a lot of these producers, I guarantee, are the same cats that were complaining about artists not getting their masters and things of that nature as well, and them not getting their masters from the labels. And they're doing it to these up-and-coming artists and whatnot. And if you're an independent artist with an independent budget, I'm more likely you don't got $100,000 for no beat. If I'm, and to be honest with you, man, I'm just trying to think right now. Is there anyone, if I'm spending $100,000 on a beat, $100,000 on a beat, I probably got to go to like Dr. Dre, man. I got to go to Dr. Dre. I got to go to Greatest Producer Ever. I got to go to Dr. Dre. Dr. Dre going to make sure I got the hottest song fucking possible. And maybe I'm lucky that somebody's in the studio that day and I could have them on the track as well. Who knows? But I'm going to Dr. Dre. Like, anybody else? I can't see it. Maybe Timbaland. Maybe the Neptunes, maybe Timbaland, Dr. Dre, but like, you know, like I hate to say that Pete Rock was like $100,000 a beat. If I was on the phone with Pete Rock and he was like $100,000 a beat, I'd hang up on him right then and there.
Comes all that friendship shit is out the door, and I am expecting this from you. Now, I don't think that any of us should judge a producer's pricing. But I do think it is a bit contradictory to criticize the state of music, but not adjust to the needs of those who also see it the same way that you do. If they don't have the money, they don't have the money. So are you going to make the decision to hoard your beats and then criticize what's not out there? When I listen to that, I understand the criticism, but I also see that there are probably people out there who see that as a play. Criticize music so much that you think that I am the only person that can save it, and you come to me to pay those prices. And now they're doing the same bait and switch with younger artists.
Talked about each other's kids, my son and FaceTime me. I'm like, what's up, man? Woo. All right, man, let's get this music out. Oh, I think we should do the video.
Get you comfortable in my environment, in my presence. Boost up your ego a little bit. Encourage you a whole lot. Give you some gems, give you some game. Get you high, give you a little bit of liquor, get on the phone, talk to your daughter, talk to your son, talk to your family, take a couple flicks for the Instagram, and then when it's time to actually do the nasty work, It's the labels that call with all of these details. It is the good cop, bad cop switch. So then that way, you can never say it's their fault indirectly. Oh, man, that's just the labels being like labels. That is an old and tired game.
Wait, how long?
And you know what? Let me take it even further. I've done songs with old school artists. And I'm not going to say the names, but one of them we did a song with, tagged them on the social media, you know, paid them what he wanted for the verse, tagged them on it. Dude couldn't even like or share the post, man. It's like, that's another thing. If y'all really want, they don't really want hip hop. Excuse me, I had bourbon. They don't, it's not that they really want hip hop to still be like on top, that genuine, authentic sound. They just want, they want to make sure it's them at the forefront. They don't want it to be these new up and coming, you know, people that have that real hip hop, authentic sound. You know, they don't want the, those cats. They want the hip hop sound to still be there, but only if they're at the forefront of it. And that's not how it works. That's not how it works. They don't really want to pass the torch. And that's partially why they didn't, nobody's paying homage. They didn't pass the torch. That's partially why nobody's paying homage. I mean, who did you see these old schoolers come out here and say, yo, we passing the torch to Kendrick and Cole and Joey Badass and, you know, Cordae's and Danny Brown's of the worlds and all these up and coming, you know, Absol's, whoever. One of my favorites, Schoolboy Q. You didn't hear him, get out here and pass the torch. You didn't see him pass the torch. All you saw is, and I ain't saying old schoolers are hating on them cats. They're hating on pretty much everybody else. But, you know, old schoolers, like, it's up to them to hand out the olive branches at this point. They done shit talk the new schoolers for so long, called them mumble rappers and this, that, and the third. And see, that's the thing. Me as a music promoter, I can't be biased on the music I promote. It's not up to me to judge if an artist has fan base out there just because I don't like his sound and I might not really be my cup of tea of music. You know what I'm saying? It's not for me to judge when all these new genres and all these sounds, they have fan base. They didn't have fan base. People wouldn't be streaming the music. People wouldn't be going to the shows, you know. So it's not up. And that's the thing. Music promoters that sit there and be like, well, you know, unless a song sounds like a hit record, I don't want to promote it because I can't get good results. It's not a music promotion company that can get results, period. Because, you know, if you're promoting drill music on YouTube, you can market it to drill fans. You target mainstream drill artists channels, you know, that you can directly market easily, or you can trend market as well. Trend marketing, that's the thing. Trend marketing covers a lot of these genres as well. But I never sit there and say, oh, you know, now there's some songs that are recorded terribly. And yeah, the quality is so awful, we got to refund those. Or when there is, every now and then there's a song of a person who just, one of those god awful singers that has no friends that told them they can't sing, or just them terrible god awful rappers that, you know, they're just totally, like, everything is just totally awful. And yeah, once every blue moon. For the most part though, when most people go to the studio and record their music, they're not god awful. They're not, you know, they're at least below average or average or good, you know, because below average is not really god awful. It's not god awful. God awful is like, I don't know how to explain it. There was a client that paid for promos, and I'm like, yeah, we can't do nothing with this. It was just god awful. It was just somebody, the delusional musician, the real delusional musician. Most people would say mumble rappers are probably delusional musicians, but mumble rappers got fan base, and auto-tune rappers got fan base, and trap rappers got fan base, and drill rappers got fan base, and emo rappers got fan base, and sad rappers got fan base. It's all got fan base. It's just a matter of how much. And I think I've heard enough about this one, man. Yeah, these... If you want you old school producers, if you really want this sound to keep going, when an artist comes to you that is actually really dope and really good and it fits your sound, those are the ones that you probably need to like look out on a cookout a little bit. You don't need to beat them over the head so much. Yeah, still make enough where you make a real good profit for your time, but at the same time, those are the ones you need to kind of get a little bit behind a little bit more, you know. And if you're going to beat them over the head with the price, you better be doing the music video with them. You better be sharing it on all your social medias. That's another thing. If y'all ain't, y'all doing music with these cats and y'all don't even share the stuff on social media, man. They pay you for features and you don't even share it on social media. And that's another thing. How are you going to keep the sound alive if y'all ain't sharing the content? You know, they pay you for a beat and you don't even share it when they tag you. You just take your money and run. So, yeah, man, there's a lot of that going on. And not even just with the producers, with the rappers as well. With the rappers beating them over the head for feature prices when they ain't really that relevant no more. And they're really coming to you to do the feature with you because they look up to you and got respect for you and they just want to do a song with you because they genuinely, you know, admire you as a hip-hop artist and you still beating them over the head. You know, cats like Sadat are really, really fair. Cats like Sadat X are really, really fair. You know, there's cats out there that are really, really fair with people, man, you know. And you do the song with them and they actually share it to their accounts and things of that nature, like the post, comment on the post and whatnot. But then you do the songs with them, they don't even show no love to the song or nothing. It's like it's all about the money to them. And when you make it all about the money, man, I don't want to, like you said, it's contradictory for you to be bitching and complaining about why the hip hop sound is not what it used to be. Once again, I want to thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of Paul Pinker Podcast. And I like this cat, Simba. I need to check out more of his music, but I like what he's saying. Like, you know, these younger cats need to start calling out these old schoolers more and put some of them in their place. Because I don't totally side with these old school rappers and producers. You know, you shit talk a bunch of people for so long. What are they supposed to do? They're supposed to pay homage and show you love or respect after you just shit-talking them for so long? It don't work that way. Once again, thank you for tuning in to Paul Pinker Podcast, and I'm out.